A shelter in the time of storm. This is the seventh message in the series that proclaims God is always on time. And the goal of these messages has been to inspire and encourage and uplift everyone who hears them, because Almighty God is there for His people. And as we'll see today, sometimes even when they get themselves in hot water or cold water, deep cold water, God is always on time. And we saw that with Abraham and Isaac. We saw it with Moses and Pharaoh and the Israelites. We saw it with those three young men in the blazing fire. We saw it when Elijah called fire from heaven to burn up the king's men. We saw it with Gideon and his band of 300 that took on the Midianite army, 45-1 odds. We saw it that God was on time in getting Daniel out of the pit of lions, even though he let him go into that pit. And it wasn't because God wanted to punish Daniel for something. Because Daniel was faithful, he got thrown into that pit. I want you to know God's always on time, even when He allows things to go differently than what we would expect. And sometimes they go drastically different from what we would expect. Sometimes, though, He's training us to give up our expectations and to increase our faith in Him. Instead of expecting that we can do something, expecting that we have some self-sufficiency, expecting that we can pridefully take care of something, sometimes we have to humble ourselves before Almighty God and allow Him to move so that He gets the glory. We're going to look at another example today of God's timing as we examine the account of Jonah, who chose not to do what God called him to do. Unlike Jonah, you know, I ran from God. I ran far and I ran hard. And I'll tell you a little bit about that as we proceed with the message. Jonah was twice swallowed, first by the sea and then by a large fish. And we'll see that in the account of Jonah as we read it. Jesus Himself used Jonah as an example of Almighty God's redeeming power over souls. He has that redeeming power over sin and death. And the fact that Jesus used him as an example, called him a prophet, validates the account of Jonah. This is a real account. It's not a fictional story that somebody made up to get you thinking about some other thing. This is a real account. It really happened. And if we would deny that it really happened, then we're denying that Christ is our Savior. Because He used it. And He depicted it as what it is, a real account. So I want you to open your Bibles to the first chapter of Jonah. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 623. Jonah chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 1 and we'll read through the end. But before we read, I want us to pray. Page 623 in the Pew Bible. But again, I want us to pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that You would please hear my prayer. First, Lord, I lift myself to You and ask that You would forgive me of any wrongful thing, whether it be thought, word, or deed. Help each of us to forsake our sins, Father. Use us today. Fill us today. God, I ask that You would take me and use me. I'm here for Your use, Father. I am surrendered to You. I have no agenda but to make Your truth known to each soul that hears this message. Make my mouth speak the truth of Your word clearly, Father. And please open the ears of everyone who receives this message, whether it be here in this room today or if it be with a CD or online, Lord. I thank You for the sermon audio service and that we're able to reach people all over the world with Your truth. God, we'd have never thought that just a few years ago. But I thank You for that, Lord. I ask that You would bless each one who hears this message. Speak into our souls, Father, and deliver us from evil. Secure us, bind us with your word as we serve you. Strengthen us by your spirit to watch and patiently wait for Christ our Redeemer. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Please anoint everyone who hears these words, I pray. Use my preaching in your might, Father. Keep our faith not in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your spirit and your power. May your will be done. It is so. So be it. Jonah, chapter 1. Sure wish our little Jonah was here today. Little Jonah, he's such a joy to have in the service. The last time he was here, he came down before the pulpit and he raised his hands as I was preaching. Those of you who are here know exactly what I'm talking about. He was praising God. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Then the mariners were afraid, and every man cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship. He laid down, was fast asleep. Jesus did that once too, by the way. So the captain came to him and said to him, "What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They drew straws, sort of. Jonah lost. Then they said to him, "Please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" So he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." And the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "Why have you done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, "Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, "It cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." Sheol there means death. "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, 'I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple.' The waters surrounded me, even to my soul." He's saying, "I died." He's saying, "The water took me over. I went under. I went down. Weeds were wrapped around my head. The deep closed around me. I went down to the moorings of the mountains." In other words, to the base, to the very bottom of the sea. "The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto dry land. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city in the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. It's a sign of humility, great humbleness. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or even drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hand. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may not perish?" Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. He still had hope that God was going to send down some fire and brimstone. But they repented. And the Lord God prepared a plant, made it come up over Jonah that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And he wished death for himself and said, "It's better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, Jonah said, "It is right for me to be angry even to death." But the Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant for which you've not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, as much livestock? I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word." Sometimes, like Jonah, we bring trouble upon ourselves. Almighty God commissioned Jonah to proclaim his message. And this is like Christ commissioned each and every one who comes to him. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. And what do? A lot of people just run away. They don't want to do it. They don't want to do what God wants. They're not trying to bring the gospel to other people. Jonah made a great effort to avoid God's will, and so do we when we shun being co-workers with Christ in delivering the gospel. Jonah was swallowed by the sea, and then by the great fish. He had no power or ability to save himself, and nor do we when we're swallowed by the things of this world that takes us out of the presence of God. We can't save ourselves. We need him. And this is why he sent Jesus Christ to deliver us. We need his divine intervention to get us out of whatever swallows us. We're consumed by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And this can be seen in our possessions, and it can be seen in the modern entertainment. This can be seen in our work and being consumed with the work that we do. It can be seen in many other things, including alcohol or sex or drugs. It can be seen in even laziness. Consumed. There are many people that are just consumed with laziness. They're slothful. The scripture speaks against that. Jonah was full of bitterness, and a lot of other people are too. Jonah was full of anger, and a lot of people are too. Before he was consumed by that storm and then that sea creature, Jonah was going the wrong way already. He had to repent to be saved from that watery grave. There was no way out for him. He admits he went to the bottom of the sea. And as much as said, he died. But God resurrected him. All of us must turn from the things that swallow us also. Whatever consumes us, we have to break free from. As I said earlier, like Jonah, I ran from God. Oh, yeah. After that priest choked me, I wanted nothing to do with God. Nothing. But instead of the sea, I wasn't swallowed by the sea. It was a car wreck in 1977. And it swallowed me, and it consumed me, and then it spit me out. In 1983, that big fish came in the form of another car. It scooped me up, slammed me, and then spit me out onto the highway. I later described that as being raped on a bed of asphalt. And it scarred me for life, for life. And I could tell you, if you go to the belly of a fish, it's going to scar you for life too. Whatever consumes you will scar you. We're all called by God to proclaim His message after believing. But some, like yours truly, are distinctly called to be set apart for that work. He says so. It's the prophets, it's the preachers, the teachers. But like Jonah, we can refuse to obey God. I'm living proof of that. The truth is, as we see with Jonah, and as I've personally experienced, running from our duty does nothing to dissolve it. Nothing to rid us of that obligation. I was not free from the obligation to preach and teach His word. God was coming after me, and I was running hard. There's an old Baptist minister that I served under for a number of years who said, "John, you got to quit running." I said, "I'm not running." "Oh, yes, you are." No, I'm not running." Wanted to send me to seminary. I refused. Oh, God have mercy. We still must share His message of repentance. This is the message that Jesus preached. It's the message that He told His disciples to preach. It's the message that they were telling others to preach, and it came down to us through the centuries. God will send His storms to teach us the wisdom of obedience. That's what happened to Jonah. God sent that storm to upset that ship, get him tossed overboard, prepared a fish to draw him up, also had that fish spit him out on the ground. Now, if you think about that, okay, he was propelled some number of feet onto the land. You think he didn't get scuffed up a little bit in that transfer? You ever fall on sand? All we need to do is what Jonah did. We need to pray to Almighty God. When we find ourselves outside of His will, as Reed said earlier, God is full of mercy. God has grace. He will forgive us when we stumble, when we trip, when we fall, when we go the other way. He'll call us back to Himself. He will use us to His glory. We simply need to say, "Praise you, God. I hear you, Father. I'm here for you. Use me. Take me. I want to serve you. I want to be yours for you to use." The account of Jonah, it's like a foretelling of God casting His people out of their land. We see that in the second chapter. But then He miraculously saves them. And He does it on time, see? Before they're destroyed. This is what happened to Jonah. God got him out of the belly of that fish before he was destroyed. He let him go into the fish. God put him in that fish. After being driven to despair like Jonah, those people would turn their back on sin, and then they would come back to God in their distress. And we see this pattern over and over in the accounts recorded in the Scripture. They're meant for our learning. We are to pay attention to those things so that we will learn that God is merciful. Almighty God heard their cries for relief, and like Jonah, He delivered them. And this is always true for those who call upon Christ under repentance. Jonah was called by God to deliver his message to strangers. These weren't neighbors. They weren't friends. They were strangers. It's a different land, different place. And in the same way, each of us is called to go forth to the lost. All throughout the world, as Christ commanded. And we do that in a variety of ways. Sometimes we do it in supporting missionaries, such as Bob and Judy, who go down to Costa Rica. Sometimes it's in going out into the community that we live in. Sometimes it's going to other communities where we don't live. But we're to proclaim that gospel. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God was at hand, and we're commissioned to do the same until he returns. That's what he said. That's not my words. Just as Jonah announced God's coming judgment, so do we. After Jonah's prayer in the depths of darkness and the stench of his captivity, he received his answer. Go to the lost and preach repentance. That was his answer. He wasn't doing what God wanted him to do. And God said, go and do what I told you to do. And I want you to hear the Holy Spirit telling each of you to go. Jonah brought affliction upon himself by his sin, and so do each of us. Each of us brings affliction upon ourselves by sin. Jonah prayed to God, and he was heard. And God answered right on time. He didn't get digested by that fish. We don't know how badly he was scarred. We don't know if maybe some of his hair was burned off or clothes were burned off. And stomach acid is pretty rough stuff. We don't know if his skin was bleached. He may have been horribly disfigured. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. But what it does tell us is that after he got out of that fish, he went and did what God said to do. He didn't take another chance. He was twice swallowed, first by the sea, then by the fish. He prayed to God and he was heard. And though we bring affliction upon ourselves by our sins, Almighty God will hear our humble, sincere prayers for deliverance. But pride, arrogance, self-sufficiency, and self-superiority are not heard at the throne of grace. We may not go before God with pride in our hearts, saying, we can take care of this, God, we got it, and expect that he'll hear us. Pride goes before the fall. And let me tell you, insincerity receives no positive answer either. We can't just haphazardly go to God. Well, you know, God, looks like I got to come to you because after all, I've goofed things up. Well, yeah. But we better be driven to repentance, folks. I think the time is short, personally. I think even now, the heavens are about to rend and Christ will return. He'll descend upon this earth and take his church out of here. But even if not, we're to remain watchful. And how could we be watchful if we're busy taking care of the world and the things of the world? How can we be watchful if our eyes are set upon those things that are of our lust, the lust of our eyes, the lust of our flesh, the pride of life? How can we be watchful for Christ when we're caught up in all of those things? Almighty God will hear us. We pray in humility. Godly sincerity, we can expect to be heard. That's when God hears us. And he'll speak a word to deliver us from the evil that we've brought upon ourselves. He will deliver us. We simply need to call out to him. But let's not think that we can continue to proudly live contrary to our Creator and receive his blessing. It doesn't work that way. There is nothing in the Scripture that shows that. In fact, everything in the Scripture shows contrary to that. We're not going to receive an answer. It's not going to come if we continue to live contrary to God's will. Jonah's example is one of deep contrition in prayer. If you read Jonah's prayer, you hear him say, God, I was dead, and you brought me back to life. And this is a metaphor, if nothing else. Even if he wasn't physically dead, though I happen to believe that he was, it's a metaphor for each and every one of our souls that was dead in sin, and God brought us back to life. And we live because he lives. And we're about to celebrate that on April 1st. resurrection day. He died, was buried, and he rose again. And this is the sign of Jonah, according to Jesus. Each and every one of us was swallowed by the sea of sin. Each and every one of us. And sadly, many people refuse to repent until they go to the bottom. That's what happened to Jonah. Obviously, from his prayer, we can hear that he said, I hit the bottom. I was at the base of the mountains. The rock bottom of the world. Oh, that we would cry out to God and look for the one we pierced on that day so long ago and turn to Him as our Savior. He says, our sins pierced Him. We nailed Him to the tree. And one scripture tells us, how can we go on sinning? We re-crucify Him with our sin. The third chapter of Jonah relates Jonah's second commission. Second time God said, go to Nineveh. That's what I want you to do. Go to Nineveh. Preach repentance. And then we see Nineveh's repentance. They turned from their sins. They heard this messenger. He stood out. We know that God gave him the ability to preach. Jesus called him a prophet. The prophet foretells God's coming judgment. We can know with certainty that souls will be converted by the love of their Creator. All of us can know that. His love enables His long-suffering toward us. He is long-suffering. His mercy endures forever. It's written over and over again in the Scripture. Our Creator provides salvation through His love by the payment that He made for those very souls that are perishing in the sea of sin, swallowed by it. Our Creator also provides if-then promises throughout His words. If you do this, then I'll do that. If you believe, then I'll save you. And your belief, the true heart of belief, is found in repentance, turning from those things that displease your Creator. His love empowers salvation. Your believing is observed in your repentance. Likewise, a lack of repentance indicates unbelief. If we continue in our sin, we are snubbing our nose at Almighty God, saying, I'm going to do it my way, God. I got this. I don't need you. I'm okay here. I'm good. We go our own way. We're all running off to Tarshish somewhere, chasing some eternal dream that we'll never catch. Not on this side of eternity. Almighty God wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to talk for Him. He wants us to be His, completely sold out. No more anything else, just Him. We need to be chasing after God like people chase after drugs. Almighty God's long-suffering. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. He says so in His Word. And that's the key to receiving salvation. Turn to Him and receive what He has to offer. But still, His Word offers us threats that act as guides. Sometimes they're called curses. They act as guides in love. Because God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him would not perish, but have everlasting what? Life. His love leads salvation to His people, and His people to His salvation. The affliction of sorrow and pain are like guide dogs for blind souls. You see that in Jonah. Do you think Jonah wasn't suffering when he went into that sea, when they picked him up and threw him overboard into that raging sea that was going to destroy that ship? Do you think he wasn't suffering? Do you think he didn't experience pain? Do you think as he was going to the bottom of that ocean and his consciousness was about to leave and he's begging God, Do you think he didn't know that that was? He said he knew. He explains that it happened to him. It's not that God wants to punish his creation for the sake of punishment. He threatens so he will not have to punish. He tells us there is punishment, but he doesn't want us to receive that punishment. He's not some cosmic meanie. My parents did the same thing, and probably most of your parents did too. But like so many others, I didn't take them seriously whenever the punishment was delayed. My mother was good for this. You wait till your dad gets home. Yeah. It didn't matter if I was asleep when my dad got home. I'd wake up. Let me tell you, I'd wake up. I'd go on sinning against their teaching or their commands, their instructions, until the punishment was delivered. And then I'd realize, wait a minute, there is punishment. There are guidelines. There are boundaries within which I am to operate. And God shows us his boundaries within his word. He teaches us his boundaries to keep us safe, to keep us in his care. The discipline of my parents kept me on track to keep me alive, and they had mercy on me when I turned from my error. When I repented, I didn't get that smack on the backside. Tried to run away, it wouldn't necessarily be the backside that got it. Wherever that belt would reach. And my dad was quick at getting that belt off. I'll tell you, you could hear it. Whew! Crack! I learned to obey. God's not like that. He's not trying to punish us. He doesn't want us to receive punishment. But the punishment is there. The punishment is there. And just as the time came for Jonah to be digested, God brought him out of it. He was going to be destroyed. Sadly, true repentance is seldom taught these days, especially in what's called the church. As one preacher put it, the church of Jesus Christ is largely sleeping. Like a big bedroom, and they're all sleeping. All the Christians are in bed, and they're saying, please, don't wake me up. I want to go on sleeping. But when the Spirit of God moves on a soul, it cannot remain sleeping. God's merciful to those who confess and forsake their sin. Otherwise, that sin consumes them like that acid in the fish's belly would have digested Jonah. It consumes them. Just as that time came for Jonah to be spewed from that fish, the time is coming when the people of God are going to be spewed from this earth into the eternal kingdom of Almighty God. And that's when we shall come face to face with Christ. That final chapter of Jonah reveals Jonah's displeasure over God's forgiveness. He wasn't happy about it. He said, I knew you were going to forgive them, and you did. I knew that repent, you'd forgive them. Jonah wanted them destroyed. They were despicable people, after all. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire, and the people were savage and ruthless, much like the people in our land today. Jonah just wanted them to be destroyed. But God had mercy on them. I suppose Almighty God used that big fish as a tool to reveal how the Ninevites were swallowed by idolatry because their God was the fish god, Dagon. Do you see the connection? They were swallowed by idolatry. They were consumed with it. And before he was swallowed by that sea and the fish, Jonah preached to those sailors with positive results. I serve the living God, the God of heaven and earth, the one who created it all. And they were greatly afraid. And after they tossed him into the sea, well, first they tried to get away, rowing harder. Okay, they had their guys down in the galley. They were rowing, buddy. They're trying to get back to shore. They didn't want to throw him overboard. They weren't trying to kill somebody. These weren't ruthless pirates. These were businessmen. They weren't trying to kill this guy. But then they came to realize the only way out of this was, like he said, throw him overboard. Oh, God, please don't hold this to our account. They tossed him overboard and the sea goes calm. Didn't Jesus calm the sea one time, Doug? Yeah, I seem to remember him doing that once. Yeah. Indeed. It's amazing when we think about that. He preached to those sailors, had positive results. Now, when Jonah was in the belly of that fish, he probably got attacked, as I said earlier, by that stomach acid, and it probably did something to him. We don't know what, because it doesn't describe what. But it may have disfigured him some way, and that would have made him stand out. And let me tell you, do I dare say more than any of us ever stand out whenever we approach somebody with the gospel? We can't say we have an excuse, folks. Well, you know, I stand out like a sore thumb, you know, because people aren't really believers. And praise the Lord! Your role is to bring them to Christ. We know that Jonah was gifted by God. We know it wasn't him. This is a guy that's running from God, and God still used him to draw those sailors' hearts to himself. They were the first to repent to Almighty God. And God empowered Jonah's preaching for the Ninevites too. We see the king of the Ninevites. He repented and everybody else was told, okay, now it's a declaration. Jonah preached in one place probably, and as he was going, but 120,000 people didn't come out to hear Jonah. What happened was the king sent out a decree saying everybody was to repent to Almighty God in sackcloth and ashes. And they were spared from God's judgment. Woo! Might have had another Sodom and Gomorrah on our hands there. Might have seen fire rain down from heaven. Do we know Almighty God who delivered Jonah from the sea and the great fish is the same God today as he was then? Do we know that he can deliver souls from death? Do we know that he can draw sinners to repentance? His word says so. Do we believe it? And will we take the message of Jesus Christ out into that world and draw them to repentance? Woo! That's what we're to do, people. Do we know that he'll empower us to speak by his Spirit? We don't have to come up with the words. Moses resisted whenever God said, you're the man. Oh, no, I can't speak, he said. He said, I'll speak for you. Oh, no, I can't. I'm slow of speech, he said. And God said, I'll take your brother and I'll use him for you then. God will take you and he'll use you. He will speak through your mouth. He will give you the words to say. He will help you to deliver his message. Do we know that he'll convict the souls that he bought and paid for to be collected into his kingdom for all of eternity? He will do it through you. He just wants to use you. All you have to do is say, I surrender. I give up, God. I'm not going to run from you anymore. I'm not chasing the world anymore. I want to do what you want me to do. After those people repented, Jonah quarreled about the goodness of God. Now, I'll tell you, folks, if I'd have gone through what he went through, I am not going to have a fight with God, okay? Some big bird's liable to come flying down and swoop down and scoop me up, okay? I'm not going there. I'll tell you right now, not going to happen. But Jonah, made of a different material than me, I guess, didn't want God to spare those people, but God did. He did not want them to repent, but they did. He didn't want them to receive God's pardoning mercy, but they received it. Because God is good all the time. Each of us is a beneficiary of God's long suffering. We are beneficiaries of God's pardoning mercy. Without his grace and mercy, without him, we'd be swallowed in sin and hellbound. We'd have no choice and no chance. We would not get out without God. God justifies himself in the methods of his grace toward repenting sinners. And he values every human soul, and so should we. Look upon every soul is worth more than the entire world. For if we lose our soul after gaining the whole world, what good is it? What good is it if we gain the whole world but lose our own soul? And what would we give for it then? Jonah knew. Jonah knew. At the bottom of the ocean, when he prayed out to God and God prepared that fish and it swooped in there and scooped him up, Jonah knew what he'd give. He gave his life. He did what God said to do. As I said, Jesus used Jonah the prophet to illustrate his own death, burial, and resurrection. Christ died, was buried, and arose in 3 days. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us that. In Matthew chapter 12, we can hear Jesus talking about the sign of Jonah. This evil and adulterous generation looks for a sign, he said. But the only sign they're going to get is that of Jonah, the prophet. 3 days, 3 nights. Both were buried and rose again for the teaching of repentance. It was Almighty God who prepared Jonah's grave, and it was Almighty God who prepared Christ's. Do you know that? God prepared those graves. And that stomach acid in the fish could be viewed with contempt, the same way that we view sin with contempt. And just as God made that fish vomit Jonah upon the shore of his destination, so too does God deliver us from sin to the eternal land of promise. Had Jonah refused to repent, he would have been destroyed. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And if we don't repent, we're destroyed. God's word's clear about that. Same thing's true for us. But God is merciful. He allows us, by his long suffering, he allows us to come to him. The question is, will you turn to him before your sin digests you? That's the question. Remember, he's always on time. God's clear. His character's unchangeable. His word's clear about that. And it shows he might change his mind about something. He might change his conduct toward us as we change our attitude toward him. Because prior to Christ, we are all damned to eternal suffering. But when we change our conduct, he changes toward us. Our repentance is seen in that change of our will when we adjust our mind about sin. We are renewed, we are transformed, and it's all by the work of God. And we do what's right in God's sight. And then God turns from the punishment that we deserve. That's what his word shows. His will is that we'll live forever with him, and he made that possible through the sacrifice of Christ. We want to do things our way, right? And they turn us from where God wants us to go. That's the truth of it, folks. We're all Jonahs in some way or other. But then that's when God sends a storm to get our attention back on track to go where he wants us to go. The question is, will you heed the storm? Will you pay attention to the depths that you find yourself in? Or will you be swallowed by that sea of sin and contempt for God? And as I wrap this up, I want you to remember, time is short. Time is short. The Bible warns us concerning how short this life is. It's written in James chapter 4, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And we are told to believe today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's written in Hebrews and also in two places in Hebrews, excuse me. None of us knows how much time we have left on this earth, folks, and none of us know the circumstances that will surround our death. We don't know that some people will say, well, I'll wait to that last minute before I take that last breath, Pastor, and I'll just give it up to God, and I know he'll save me. And God's good like that. We know that by the thief on the cross. But he might not give us that last breath. He might not. We're instructed to remain watchful. We might die suddenly and unexpectedly with no chance for repentance at that moment. And this is why the wise choice is to repent today. To turn it over to God today and every day, each day. The old Baptist pastor that I worked under, he said, John, you've got to keep a short sin account. Give it up to God. Confess, God, I've fallen short. The only reasonable option is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ today. And then I ask, is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you think, by some chance, that you're too evil or too wicked or too sinful, or you've done too many things wrong to come to Christ, you're mistaken. There is nothing that's too hard for God. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. And I know I'm preaching to a room full of people that are full of the Holy Ghost and following Christ. But let me tell you, folks, we've got to take this message out into the streets. We've got to tell other people they haven't done too much wrong. They haven't done too much harm. They're not too deep in the sin. They can come out. Almighty God can pull them out. He can lift them from those seas of sin. He can free them from those fish that have swallowed them. God sometimes is terrifyingly unpredictable, but He's always enjoys seeing the faith that His people put in Him. Jonah was twice swallowed and twice delivered. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and who have been called according to His purpose. Do you know God loves you? And you've been called. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been called to His purpose, and all things will work out for good for you. And you need to bring the message to the lost. God loves last-minute rescues. We've seen that all through the Scriptures and the stories, the accounts that we've read in this series of messages. He loves coming in to save us when all hope is lost. Even when we cause the trouble, like Jonah, who was twice swallowed. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is Your word that guides us out of the sin that swallows us, Lord. It is Your word that guides us. Your living written word. Your living Father, You have proved to us over and over that You are alive, that You are real, that You are present, ever present when we praise You. Let us sing Your praises. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. Praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Almighty God. Lift up our praises. Father, hear our praises today. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You bring us out. You save us. We can't save ourselves. God, some of us are in some really difficult circumstances even now. And sometimes, Lord, it looks like all hope is lost. And some of us have caused that trouble. And Lord God, we ask that You would rescue us. Help us to be humble. Help us to set aside all of those things that get between us and You. Turn us, Father, now and forever, we pray in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now let us throw out a lifeline there with hymn number 426. Hymn number 426. And if you can stand, please stand as we throw out the lifeline. Number 426. Question is, will you turn to Him before your sin digests you?
Hi, this is Michaela. We're going to light Fizzes with us next Sunday.